I'm constantly striving to do better. And sometimes I make mistakes or wrong choices, but I have learned to not beat myself up over those things. I don't wallow in condemnation. I refuse to listen to the accusing voice. I know God is still working on me, that I'm growing, learning, and becoming a better me.
That's Joel Osteen reading from his newest book, definitely a bestseller, Become a Better You. It followed close upon the heels of his first book, Your Best Life Now, 7 Steps to Living at Your Full Potential. This one has 7 keys to improving your life every day. Joel Osteen has a national ministry and a television program in the largest megachurch in the United States. Tonight, we're going to be reviewing his latest book, Become a Better You. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome to Issues, Etc., and thanks for tuning us in live this Sunday night, November the 25th. We're going to be giving away a book to the best callers, a booklet to the best callers, as we talk about Joel Osteen's Become a Better You. It's called Christ Alone. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us here in the studio tonight, issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Joining us tonight to review the book Become a Better You by Joel Osteen, our regular guest, Dr. Larry Rast. He's academic dean and associate professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Larry, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Todd, thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
Well, I remember about a year ago we were reviewing Joel Osteen's first book, Your Best Life Now, and one of the big criticisms that we had of it was that there was very little reference to Jesus Christ in the first book and very few explicit references to any Bible passages. This new book has a lot of Bible passages and a fair number of references to Jesus. Is this an improvement over the first book, Your Best Life Now?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I always say anytime the scriptures are being put forward, that's a good thing. On the other hand, oftentimes the interpretation of the scriptures that are being put forward can obscure what the scriptures are talking about. And I think that's part of what we bump into with this particular volume, where you have more Bible references and more readings from the scripture. They are interpreted by Joel Osteen on the spot, and oftentimes those interpretations don't have a thing to do with what the Bible itself, the point the Bible itself is actually making.
Somebody says, look, it does, the book does quote the Bible, therefore the Bible must be true. How would you respond?
Absolutely, the Bible remains true, but what he is doing is providing an interpretation of the Bible that is counter to what the scriptures are actually teaching. So in other words, whereas the scriptures remain in and of themselves God's truth, God's word, he has surrounded them with his interpretation to the point where the scriptures themselves, the voice of the scriptures themselves, in some cases, in the best cases, has been obscured, and in the worst cases is just outright, flat out wrong.
What's the basic theme, as far as you can tell, of Become a Better You by Joel Osteen?
Oh, the basic theme is that you have good within you that needs to be cultivated, and that cannot be cultivated by negatives, by beating yourself up, by, as he puts it, listening to the condemning voice or the accusing voice, but all those things have to be pushed aside. And the good that is you, that is the image of God that is in you, that has to be cultivated and allowed to grow and allowed to come out. It's all there. It's just waiting for it to happen.
Well, let's hear from Joel Osteen himself. This comes from the book, Become a Better You. And this is Joel Osteen on Christ's redemption with a catch.
The Bible says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse is behind any kind of defeat, sin, mistakes, wrong choices, fear, worry, unhealthy relationships, even bad attitudes. Please understand, those are things from which you have already been set free. But here's the catch. If you don't appreciate and take advantage of your freedom, if you don't get your thoughts, your words, your attitudes going in the right direction, it won't do you any good. You may be sitting back waiting on God to do something in your life. But the truth is, God is waiting on you.
Larry, is that a proper understanding of Scripture as it presents Christ's redemption for us sinners?
Boy, if it were, we'd be in a pickle that we couldn't get ourselves out of, because he's taken away whatever comfort there might be, and he's thrown it all up into the air. He uses the worst word you can possibly use when you're talking about the work of God on our behalf, and that is the word if. If you don't appreciate, if you don't do this, if you fail in this regard, if you are not banking on this, all those ifs that come into the question simply produce those results, namely a big question mark for us. We don't know. So rather than the message of the Scriptures, which is so clearly that God is for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that God was not going to sit back and wait, but rather he sent his Son into our midst to redeem us from all the curse of the law, entirely, now suddenly there's a condition, a catch, that's put into the whole thing, and that is, if you don't do this. And what that ultimately does, again, to underscore the point, is to really make us more powerful than God, for one thing, but it also takes away the comfort of the gospel that says, again, God has done this. It is a reality that is already ours in Christ.
What is this notion, and he says it several times in the book, and he ended that last cut with it, God is waiting on you. What's that all about?
In the larger movement that Joel Osteen's a part of, the Word Faith movement, there's a basic principle that says God, the Almighty, Most High God, has good things for his children. However, he doesn't dole them out. He won't give them until those children do something, until they align their minds, until they perform specific kinds of actions, whatever it may be, until they have accomplished something that he's desirous of in them and on their part. And again, the horrible thing about this is that it puts God into this kind of passive position where he is waiting for you to do something. And it kind of leads to a certain cop-out, if you will, and that is, well, if you don't have the good things in your life, it's clearly your fault because you didn't have the faith necessary or the commitment necessary to carry this off. Rather than, which becomes a statement of horrible law to a sinful, struggling person, rather than the message of comfort and assurance that we need that, yes, God knows we're sinners. That's specifically why he sent Christ and why Christ continues to come to us with his message of forgiveness. It's a never-ending message on God's part to us.
Before we go to this break, in about a minute to respond on the other side of this audio bite from Joel Osteen's Become a Better You, here's Joel's definition of grace.
That's what grace is all about. None of us deserve it. It's a free gift. We're not worthy in ourselves. The good news is God has made us worthy. God does not focus on what's wrong with you. He focuses on what's right with you. He's not looking at your faults and your weaknesses. He's looking at how far you've come and at how much you're growing.
Larry, you've got about a minute. Is that Scripture's definition of grace?
No, Scripture's definition of grace is that it is, well, he got a part of it right there, that it's a free gift. But he used a key word here, namely that God has made us worthy, is how I heard him say it there. And rather, what the Scriptures are very clear about is that we continue to be sinners throughout our lives. Paul will talk about this in Romans chapter 7. It's a struggle that for every one of us as Christian people in the world today to live the life of a redeemed child of God while at the same time being attached to this body of flesh that falls into sin. Hence, you know, if we're made worthy, we should be able to have victory over everything, including death, but the fact is we don't. The message of the Scripture, therefore, is a different one. It is very simply this, that God declares us not guilty of our sins because of what Jesus has done for us.
We're talking with Dr. Larry Rass, reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Become a Better You, on its way to becoming a bestseller. 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Sunday night, November the 25th. 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Best callers will get a copy of this booklet called Christ Alone by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Have you grown weary of the secularization of Christmas? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for November is titled, What Happened to Merry Christmas? It's a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. More information on What Happened to Merry Christmas is available from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or by visiting our website, issuesetc.org. What Happened to Merry Christmas? The Issues Etc. book of the month for November.
Join Issues Etc. as we broadcast live from the annual symposia at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's January 15th through the 18th. For a complete list of speakers, symposia schedule, or to register online, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 260-452-2241. It's the symposia, January 15th through the 18th, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. David Adams on why a man should consider the vocation of a pastor.
One, because there's nothing more important in the world than the proclamation of Christ and the gospel. And to be called to that work is the greatest of all the callings. And this leads us to the second point, I think, that if a man believes that God has called him to that work, then if God calls you to the greatest and most important work that can be done here in this life, then for the love of Christ and the joy of proclamation of the gospel, hopefully that man would respond in faith to that call.
You can find out more about becoming a pastor on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Look for information on Concordia Seminary St. Louis, Serving Church and World, and Concordia Theological Seminary Fort Wayne. Teach, reach, care. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. Larry Rast, reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Become a Better You. Dr. Rast, coming up early next year, right there in the very first part of January, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where you serve as academic dean and associate professor of historical theology, is going to be holding that annual symposia. Describe for our listeners the whole symposia experience.
Oh, boy, how much time do you have? The symposia of our seminary, a great tradition that we have, in which we bring together our wonderful alumni, folks who are interested in theology, world-renowned scholars, people from all over the world. We'll be here in Fort Wayne in January to talk about God, to really celebrate the fact that God has given us the greatest gift in Jesus Christ, and to look at ways we can more effectively communicate that to the world while at the same time being aware of the challenges that face us. So, for example, this coming symposium we'll be having on the confession side, particularly focusing on the atoning work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, which kind of fits in with our discussion of Joel Osteen a little bit in the first comments we've made. And I want all the listeners to know we didn't set this up, but in fact, the topics for this year are particularly apropos to the ongoing challenges that we face in American Christianity today and the unique voice that Lutheranism has, the great gift that we as confessing Lutherans can be to a world that needs to hear about Jesus Christ.
Folks, you can join us as we broadcast live from the symposia, January the 15th through the 18th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information on symposia speakers, the topics, the worship services, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call area code 260-452-2241, 260-452-2241, Ask for information on the symposia, January the 15th through the 18th, at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 260-452-2241. Before the break, Larry, we heard Joel Osteen say something to the effect in his definition of grace, God isn't focusing on what's wrong in you, he's focusing on what's good in you.
Yeah, and what you've done and on how far you've come and the manner in which you're growing and that sort of thing. Boy.
Is that good news?
That's not good news. If you look at the message of the Scriptures are abundantly clear on this point, that within ourselves we continue to struggle with the reality of sin. We continue to be sinners. We are not made worthy, as I was saying before the break, as though all that has changed, but rather the fact is that we sinful people are declared not guilty of our sins because of the work of Christ on our behalf. The thing that shows that we're still sinners is the fact that we continue to fall into sin. That is, the root of original sin continues to produce actual sins in our lives. And honestly, I don't have the guts to stand up before God and say, look at me, God, look at what I've accomplished. Because the more I look at myself, the more I realize how I don't measure up. The Scripture, again, is as clear as could be on this point. Every time, take for example, when Jesus starts to interact with his apostles, with his inner group of disciples, and they start getting a little bit too self-impressed, shall we say. Hey, you know, Jesus, look how far we've come. Which one of us will sit on the right hand, which one on the left, and other things like that. Every time they start getting a little bit too self-impressed in that respect, he'll come back at them with a very pointed kind of message that says, listen, remember who you are. Remember whose you are as well. And I think one of the great examples of this is in Luke chapter 17, when Jesus is talking to the disciples and says, listen, temptations to sin are sure to come, but you know, woe to the one through whom they come. And it's almost like he's pointing at those guys right there. You're going to be the ones who end up doing this kind of stuff. He then goes into a speech about their lack of faith and how if they really had faith, they could replant a tree, or in other areas he talks about tossing a mountain into the sea, small things, you know, for us to do. And finally, at the end of the entire interaction with them, he says, at the end of the day, you say this, we are unworthy servants. And that's the attitude of the Christian person. We say, we've only done what we, you know, the most minimal of what we could possibly do. What we are is because of what Christ has said we are. He has called us as his own. He has made us his own dear children. He has redeemed us. And it's all because of him that we are part of God's family. It's not because of who we are or who we're becoming or what we've accomplished or any of that kind of stuff, because again, the more we look at ourselves, the more we see we don't match up to the standard. Thanks be to God that Christ does for us.
You touched on this just a little bit earlier, but let's hear from Joel himself from the book Becoming a Better You, his definition of faith and how it works.
The Scripture says, our faith is made effectual when we acknowledge everything good in us. Think about this. Our faith is not effective when we acknowledge all our hurts and pains. It's not effective when we stay focused on our shortcomings, on our weaknesses. Our faith is most effective when we acknowledge the good things that are in us. When we believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and we believe in ourselves, that's when our faith comes alive. When we believe we have what it takes, we focus on our possibilities.
He talks about believing in Jesus Christ, God's Son, and believing in ourselves. Is that the proper object of Christian faith?
You're sounding like a Lutheran professor now. That's a very well-stated question. Of course not. Faith has one object, and that object is Jesus Christ, period. Faith is not faith in ourselves. Faith is not faith in faith, for that matter. Faith is something outside of us, is drawn to an object outside of us, namely to Christ, who has done all things on our behalf, the one who has fulfilled the law perfectly, the one who suffered and died for us, the one who has redeemed us from our sins. Faith's object is Christ. Faith object is not faith itself, and certainly isn't ourselves. Because, I mean, this was the whole problem that Luther faced in the Reformation, where you were talking about people being curvatus in se, turned in on themselves, looking at themselves. Well, you know, he says it's, you know, when we believe in Christ, and then when we believe in ourselves. The thing that makes faith effective, he ultimately says, is when we actually believe in ourselves. And that's not the point of faith. The point of faith is looking to Christ and Christ alone.
Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's new book, Become a Better You, live this Sunday night, November the 25th. You can give us a call with questions or comments on Joel Osteen's teachings in this new book. I do want to hear from you. We're coming to you live. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us right here in the studio in real time, issuesetc@kfuo.org. You'll have a chance to get this great booklet by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt called Christ Alone, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. By the way, I mentioned very early in our conversation with Dr. Rast a previous review that we had done of Joel Osteen's first book, Your Best Life Now. You can read a transcript of that interview under the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, and then click the What's New section. You'll find a transcript of that earlier interview that we did of Joel Osteen's first book, Your Best Life Now. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, the big passage that seems to always be in play, it does serve as something of a touchstone for a person's theology, is the seventh chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, where he says, "The good that I would do, I don't, and the evil that I do not want to do, that's what I end up doing." Paul ends this dilemma, the whole Romans 7 dilemma, by saying, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" How does Joel Osteen interpret Paul's struggle? We'll find out after this.
Go, my children, with my blessing. It's one of the many songs on a new recording titled The Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group. Jazz recording artist Aaron Bodie teamed with the girls' choir in South Africa to produce this new CD. And proceeds from this recording will benefit the Temba Trust, a nonprofit foundation that operates a girls' school and other educational and youth programs that serve South Africa's rural poor. For more information on the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group, check out our homepage, issuesetc.org. For a $25 donation to LCMS World Relief, you can get a CD with great music and also help South African children. Issuesetc.org, the Temba Girls with the Aaron Bodie Group.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. has its supporters.
I just want to say that I really like your show. It's really helped me. I'm currently in my preparation to enter Concordia Seminary, and this show, I think, has really helped me with my progress. So I just want to say thanks and keep it up.
We also have our share of detractors.
This message that you're sending out is not the message that God wants the people to hear. You don't have a clue as to what he wants. You are all sinners, and you shall rot for eternity for this. You people are insane. Just burn in hell.
That's exactly why we have the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. Agree or disagree with something you've heard? Call the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 314-505-7825. The Issues Etc. listener comment line, available for your comments, positive and negative, 24/7, 314-505-7825. Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Larry Rast, on why a man should consider becoming a pastor.
There really is no greater privilege than preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ crucified and risen again to pay for the sins of the world. And that's why studying for the pastoral ministry is so vitally important. This is the message that gives life, that sustains life, that nurtures one in the life of Christ. And so ministerial studies at the seminary level will focus a person in on the scriptures, the Lutheran confessions, the history of the church, and help that student take that message of Christ into the world so that people can have faith in Christ and share that faith with others.
Preparing Christ-centered, cross-focused pastors for the 21st century, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, and Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. For more information, look for their logos at our homepage, issuesetc.org. As we approach the end of 2007, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to Issues, etc. This worldwide outreach is listener-supported. We're not affiliated with the Lutheran Hour or the Lutheran Layman's League. You can donate by credit card, our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, by check. Write us at Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or donate online at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, anyone who contributes $50 or more to Issues, etc., before the end of the year will receive a CD of a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Time Had Fully Come. 1-800-737-0172, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or issuesetc.org. This is Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your support this year. Well, here's a recent email from Karen in Michigan. She writes, I do truly remember you with thanksgiving in my prayers for all the ways, Issues, etc. focuses on Christ. You've helped me hold my tongue or to speak truthfully to others more appropriately than I would have done without Issues, etc. Thank you very much for the email, Karen, and thanks for listening. Now, folks, if you're thankful like Karen for Issues, etc., consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to help support this worldwide outreach. Any size gift is deeply appreciated. For a gift of $50 or more before the end of the year, we'll send you a Christmas sermon I preached titled When the Fullness of Time Had Come. Now, you can donate online, issuesetc.org, by calling our automated resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or by check, just write us at Issues, etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. And thanks for keeping us in mind as we approach the end of 2007. We're reviewing Joel Osteen's newest book, Become a Better You. Dr. Larry Rast is our guest. Larry, here again is Joel Osteen from the book, Become a Better You. His view of us and our free will.
Take responsibility for your actions. God has given you a free will. You can choose to change. You can choose to set a new standard. Every right choice you make will begin to overturn the wrong pattern that other people in your family line have made. Every time you resist a temptation, you are one step closer to victory.
Can we choose to change, Larry?
In the first place, absolutely not. Again, as the scriptures make so abundantly clear, as sinful beings, we do not have a free will. Rather, our will is in bondage to sin, and therefore we cannot choose to change ourselves. And as Paul puts it so clearly, the results of that sinfulness in each of us is death, spiritual death. And we all know what spiritually dead people are capable of. They're capable of just about as much as materially dead people are, which means nothing. So, this kind of choose to change business misses the point. Now, that being said, of course, when we are brought into the family of God, when we are regenerated, when His Holy Spirit works in us the gift of faith, we can, to a certain extent, cooperate with God. We can add our yes to His as His Spirit enables us so to do. But, again, the problem is attached to us from birth until our natural death on this earth is this old sinful flesh that's always seeking to do something else. And what Osteen is talking about in this book is the overcoming of that flesh, the idea that it can be conquered, that you can have final and complete total, it would sound to me, like to me, a victory over the sinful being that you are. And Scripture just doesn't tell us that. Again, Luke 17:10, at the end of the day, we're unworthy servants. The book of James, very clear on this point. If you keep the entire law but break it in one point, you break the whole thing. Look at that tongue of yours, you know. And even if you're not looking at the outward actions of the human being, one thing that Joel makes very clear within this book is that he's a conflicted person himself. Many, many, many of the stories are about his own attitudinal problems. And, you know, most of the time it's a breakthrough point for him as he sees it, where he's moving on to another level. But it'd be kind of interesting to track the attitudes through the entire book, because I think you begin to see some pretty typical responses over and over again, and you begin to wonder, well, where's that victory? Now, that's not to laugh at him and his own struggle. It's simply to say, well, how about that? Joel Osteen's a human being just like the rest of us.
Okay, that kind of brings us to our next little piece here, and I talked about it a bit before the break, from the book You're Becoming a Better You. And I think Romans 7, that chapter, so troublesome for so many Christians, is in some sense a touchstone on a person's theology. You can tell a lot about what a person believes about the gospel, about the nature of what it means to be a Christian in the Christian life, by how they read Romans chapter 7. And here's how Joel reads it.
It's interesting. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7, "The things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing." Paul was struggling to do the right thing. In verse 19, he gives us insight into why he was having that struggle. He said, "For I failed to practice the things I desire to do." He was basically saying, "I haven't developed good habits in these areas. I'm not practicing what I know I should be doing."
Larry, was that Paul's problem? He simply wasn't doing what he knew he should do?
That really does violence to the biblical text. That misses the point that Paul has here. And, you know, with the book of Romans, we're looking at a book that was likely written later on in Paul's life. He's been a follower of Christ. He's the great missionary to the Gentiles. He's been involved in this for a while. And he knows who he is. He knows what he can do. He knows what his limitations are. And that's why this is such a powerful chapter, I think. You know, here's the great apostle struggling with the basic reality that's common to all Christian people. So verse 19 is not a matter of practice. You know, practice makes perfect is the implication here, as Osteen's laid it out. But rather, as Paul describes Romans chapter 7, he's talking about a war. An outright war that goes on within us as human beings between the new man called by Christ, given the gift of faith through the work of the Holy Spirit, who desires to do the works of God, who is struggling, fighting, battling with this the flesh, as Paul puts it in verse 18. As he says, "I know nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh," but the struggle, the fight that's there. And to talk about this as kind of a practice makes perfect thing minimizes, I think, and I think the Scriptures agree with me here, minimizes the outright war that we're talking about. And it's not a matter of think positively, say good things, put the right spin on things, smile a lot, as nice as all of those things are, and I don't have any quarrel with those things. But rather, face up to the fact that this is the battle of battles, and it's going on right within you. Right within you. So it doesn't become a matter of practicing and overcoming, but rather this becomes descriptive of our reality. And then this becomes the key. If you read Paul in Romans chapter 7, you can hear, you can absolutely hear the frustration that he has with himself as he considers his own failure time after time and the struggle that goes on. And he finally bursts out of all this and says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Now, that's not very positive thinking, Paul, about yourself at least. What's he do? Verse 25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He looks outside of himself. He looks at the object of faith, Christ, and there's his answer. All things are made right through Christ. It's only once he looks outside of himself that he finds true victory, that he finds real peace.
Now, I had to go back and check the passage after reading that section from Joel Osteen's book, Become a Better You, on Romans chapter 7, because if you read it and followed the way that Joel is interpreting it, you would find Paul, instead of saying, wretched man that I am, you'd find Paul saying, the good that I would do, that I don't do, the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Boy, I guess I need to try harder. I need to develop better habits and become a better me, which is not at all what Paul says there.
Not at all. Not at all. He, by the end of this, he has completely broken down in terms of his own ability to accomplish these things. He cannot cultivate these habits because his flesh is at odds with the cultivation of these habits, and he realizes that no matter how hard he tries throughout his life, this will attend him. There is only one way to victory, and that's through Christ and Christ alone.
But this is what puzzles people who probably read this. They look at somebody like Joel Osteen, and they say, Larry, it looks like he's doing it. It looks like he's gone up to those higher levels, and he's pulling it off. How do you respond?
I think I certainly wouldn't minimize anything that he's accomplished, and if he's able to keep the inclinations of the flesh in check to a certain degree, I totally commend him for those points. We all want to do that. That's exactly what Paul wants to do. That's what he's talking about in Romans chapter 7. That's what we strive for as Christian people. But the fact is, the closer we look at ourselves, the more honestly we review our own works as spiritual people, as people of God in Christ, the more honestly we have to realize that we do not achieve these things. That, in fact, again, this is why I keep going back to this Luke chapter 17, verse 10. This is, we're unworthy servants. Jesus says, I know that. That's exactly why I came for you. I knew you couldn't do this on your own. I knew you'd struggle with this your whole life. I knew you would find this at the point of screaming out with Paul, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this?
Let's take a break.
That's why I came.
When we come back from this break, we're going to hear just one more cut from Become a Better You by Joel Osteen, reviewing the book with Dr. Larry Rass tonight on Issues, Etc. Christmas is just 30 days away. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for your young child, godchild, grandchild, check out the Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, What Happened to Merry Christmas? You can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also order What Happened to Merry Christmas by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. The book is $12.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. What Happened to Merry Christmas? The Issues, Etc. book of the month for November. When we come back, it is very introspective. That is, looking in upon oneself. You read Joel Osteen's book, Become a Better You, and you spend a lot of time thinking about you, thinking about yourself, looking in at yourself, examining yourself, looking for the good in you, looking for some hope in you, looking for some way out of your dilemma in you. Where does it lead? We'll find out after this.
When the fullness of time had come, a Christmas sermon preached by Todd Wilkin.
The most important event in your life didn't even happen in your lifetime. It happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus' perfect death for sinners at the cross.
And we'll send you a CD of this Christmas sermon for a tax-deductible year-end gift of $50 or more to Issues, Etc. Donate today, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-737-0172. Thanks for thinking of Issues, Etc. as we approach the end of 2007.
Why not send a high school age man from your congregation to Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, on the campus of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis? Taste of the Sim gives high school men the opportunity to experience seminary life. For more information on Taste of the Sim, January 19th through the 21st, at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, visit the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call 1-800-822-9545.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and His saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
God does not want you to sacrifice your happiness to keep somebody else happy. At first blush, that may sound a little selfish, but there's a fine line of balance here. Your first priority is to take care of yourself. Let today be a turning point. If you've been living to please everybody else, or constantly trying to fix everything, get rid of that false sense of responsibility. Yes, reach out to others. Yes, be kind and compassionate. Be sure that you're keeping yourself happy. After all, you are your first priority.
It is about becoming a better you, I guess, from Joel Osteen's book, Becoming a Better You. We're reviewing that for the next 10 minutes here with Dr. Larry Rass. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss worldviews with Ken Samples of Reasons to Believe. How does the Christian worldview stack up against the worldviews of naturalism or postmodernism or Eastern mysticism or even Islam? Can we objectively evaluate religious truth claims? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues Etc. Ken Samples will be our guest. If you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of 2007, just click the upcoming show section of our website, issuesetc.org. While you're there, be sure to find out about an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul, LCMS World Relief. Look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift to any of their projects around the world by calling 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, a Christ-centered, cross-focused relief agency, Pastor Matt Harrison, and LCMS World Relief. Let's go to the phones and talk with Carla in Columbus, Nebraska, listening on KTLX. Hi, Carla. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you. I was just wondering, how would Joel Osteen address a persecuted Christian in another part of the world?
Wow, short and sweet. Thank you, Carla. What does he deal? How does he deal with the issue of Christians who find themselves afoul of the world in that way?
Yeah, it's a very good question that Carla has raised. In the first book, In Your Best Life Now, he really went around that question completely, saying, you know, if you're faithful, you will have your best life now, and being persecuted and struggling is just not a part of that. He tempers that a little bit in this go-around. There's a little bit more of a sense of, if you find yourself in tough circumstances, what you need to do is align your thinking with the way God wants you to think. That then will allow you to make the best of those circumstances and transform them. So there's still this notion of ultimate overcoming of those. Now, here's the big question. What if you never get out of them? What if you're like, you know, back in Luther's time and you get sold into slavery by the Turks after being captured at the gates of you know, somewhere in Austria or something like that along the Danube? What then? And the answer would be, didn't look like it turned out too well for you. You should have had more faith. Now, I sound a little flippant in saying that, but it's an important point. The assumption here in this way of thinking is that there is always there's always a place out of this on the far end of it. Well, that's not the case here in this life, and he does grapple with that somewhat. Some of the disappointments of his own life, some of the struggles of both his parents, who factor in quite heavily in this particular book, in the troubles that they had towards the end of their life. But again, it all comes back around to, well, even in those tough times, then put on the smile, think positively, align yourself with God. But it does leave that to me, and I think this is what I heard perhaps Carla moving towards as well, and she put her finger on something important, it still is, listen, if this really is about victory, and victory is demonstrable and quantifiable, you might say, then you have to be able to overcome no matter what the circumstances. So that is a problem. It's most definitely a problem in this theology.
Kylie has emailed us from Wyoming, writing, "It appears that Joel has a way of double-talking. By this I mean he says that grace is a free gift from God, but then he turns it into a work by requiring us to believe a certain way or act a certain way, which flies in the face of Romans 3:28. This also appears to be the M.O. for the rest of the Word Faith movement, which really is pointing people away from Christ. I see this as a very anti-Christ-like, deserving of a harsh rebuke. It also appears that Joel has no concept of justification, or at least has a confusion of justification and sanctification. Your thoughts?"
I think there is a confusion at work here, and I implied that a little bit earlier in some of my remarks, particularly the confusion of law and gospel that he has. After all, think of the title of the book, Become a Better You. It's almost an imperative. It's almost a demand. That is, if you're a faithful person, you will become a better you. The implication, if you don't become quantifiably a better you, then it doesn't sound like you're being a faithful person. We just had a long discussion about that in terms of Romans chapter 7 with Paul. The biblical reality is that we are engaged in that struggle at every point in our lives. That defines us as human beings, but the greater definition that we have is that is being the people of God declared righteous in Christ. And this gets to Kylie's point then about justification by grace through faith. That is, we are declared by the free gift of God, received through faith, to be righteous, not guilty, because of the work of Christ on our behalf. A very different way of framing the question than Joel Osteen has in this book.
Frank in Las Vegas also writes on that same vein, saying, listening to Joel Osteen read from his book, I'm impressed at the extent that the old Adam within each person is so strong that he simply insists that he play a role in justification, and if not that phase of salvation, certainly sanctification. The old Adam seems bent on contributing something to his salvation, albeit minuscule. With about a minute there or less, your thoughts on Frank's observation?
We theologians have a little phrase we like to use called the opinio legis, and it means the opinion of the law. It's Latin for that. And it simply means the opinion of the law that resides in every single human being that says, there has to be something that I contribute. It might be the smallest part. It might just be the littlest thing. It may just be the inclination to agree with that if statement that we hear. But there has to be something in me. I've heard this from radio preachers and TV preachers over the years where they'll say things like, God has done all things for you in Christ. Salvation is yours. The only thing you have to do is blank. And that undoes the whole thing. The message of the Scripture is as clear as it can be. Christ has done all. When he cried out, it is finished from the cross, it truly was finished once and for all. His gracious work on our behalf.
With only 30 seconds, is Christianity about becoming a better you, Larry?
Christianity is about Christ and Christ for us. A better you turns you back in on yourself. And one of the great things we have as a result of the work of Martin Luther, the Lutheran Reformation, is the freeing reality, the scriptural reality that's told to us that it's not about us. It's all about him, but it's all about him for us and for our salvation.
Carla and Kylie, call or email us. We're going to send you that booklet, Christ Alone, by Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. 1-800-737-0172 is the phone number for our resource line. You can use that number to request a free copy of the Next Issues, Etc. journal. You can also use that number to make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. Remember, no gift is too small. For a gift of $50 or more, before the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of one of my Christmas sermons. 1-800-737-0172. You can also sign up online, issuesetc.org, or you can always write us, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. It is the ultimate in self-improvement. I guess that's the most generous thing I can say at this point about Joel Osteen's book, Become a Better You, the ultimate in self-improvement. If you want a roadmap on how you can improve yourself, then knock yourself out. There it is in the book. He writes it in an engaging way. He seems to be pulling it off himself. If all you want is a better you, I guess this'll help. If that's all you want. But Christianity, as Larry so rightly said, isn't about becoming a better you. It isn't about you. It isn't about a better you. It isn't about a worse you. It's about Jesus for you. Jesus in your place. Jesus, your substitute. You know what it's about? It's not about you at all, but it's about, or your improvement, or whether you're better or worse, it is about the perfect life that was lived for you, perfect obedience to God the Father, and it was lived by Jesus Christ for you. It is about the perfect life that he laid down at the cross in death, shedding his blood as a sacrifice for your sins for you. Christianity is about the life that Christ took up again for you in his resurrection, that life that he now gives as a free gift to you. St. Paul says, I no longer live. He gave up on becoming a better you when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, the risen Christ, his Savior. He gave up on becoming a better Paul then. And then he could say, it is not that I live, but in me Christ lives in the life I now live. I live trusting Jesus who loved me and gave himself for me, for you. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.